Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Your eyes meet mine. And lately, when I love you.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting live once again in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Mothership. In a beautiful green field full of nutrients with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle 5 days a week, including Saturday and Sunday, which is 7. Craig, welcome to the show.
Dude, we got to get the air conditioning fixed in here. It was almost 90 yesterday. It's fall. Come on.
The field looks terrific.
It does.
I mean, we've got trees on the horizon. The leaves are changing colors. They're falling to the ground. And we opened up with one of my all-time favorite groups, Gary Puckett. Woman.
And I'm amazed by that. I didn't know you like Gary Puckett.
Woman. Woman.
You got cheating on. Whatever the hell.
My voice is really hoarse right now.
Yeah, well, it's early in the morning.
Yeah, Gary Puckett, great. He's saying, we're going to play it later in the show, coming back. Lady Willpower. Will
I never would have guessed
never.
For your eclectic musical taste.
Are you
never
kidding me?
Gary Puckett and the Union.
Okay, is it fair to say to the audience that the music that they hear on the show, I pick it out each week?
Right. No. Sure. Yeah.
This is just from my huge plethora of memory bank. Gary Puckett. I'm a crooner. Mm-hmm. Frank. I mean Dean Martin. Remember we played Sway for like 2 seconds once before.
Yep, I do.
I mean our generation. We grew up with the crooners. And the Swooners and the old time movies and the big bands. I love the 60s sound.
What are you, 80? Who grew up with that? The crooners in the 50s?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Elvis Presley.
We're in the 80s, man.
I was born in 65. I'm 52, but it doesn't matter because you want to know something?
What's that?
I grew up with a family that was in the entertainment business.
Sure. Okay.
I'm just saying. So can you hear my voice is hoarse?
Well, it's early in the morning, man. Yeah, I understand.
No, it's not that. It's just from shredding the gnar on single tracks and then yelling at the screen for all the football games. You know, fire up chips.
Yeah.
Great game. Yeah. Go blue, green, go green.
Yep.
Go white. Go everybody.
Go red, go orange.
Go Michigan. Hey, big shout out, by the way.
Yes.
To all the prosecutors. Midland County Prosecutor's Office.
Okay.
They do a great job. We got J.D. Brooks at the top. We got my good friend Jeff Reddick, Chief Assistant. Love Redman. He's a great guy. His son plays football. He's doing a great job out there. He's got great kids. Joe and everybody down the line, they do a great job. The staff. And that's not to brown nose. It's just, so more often than not, people get criticized. I believe that you catch more bees with honey.
Sure.
Therefore, you should spread the love and praise.
And they do a good job,
yeah.
And of course, and they treat you fair, and you've always had nothing but good luck there.
I have cases in Midland on a regular basis. The judges do a great job there. Carpenter, Beal, Karras, they do a great job.
I mean, honestly, you and I talk a lot.
It's fair to say that.
We talk off the air, and you've never talked bad about any of the prosecutors in any of the counties that you practice in. You are very fortunate, I have a feeling.
I don't agree with every decision a judge makes.
Sure.
I'm not happy with every ruling or, prosecutors' offers or the negotiations or their counter motions or the responses to my motions. But at the end of the day, you know, when you fight the good fight. Remember the cartoon where, you know, what was it, on Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes, at the end of the day, see you, Ralph. You know, they were clocking at the end of the day.
Exactly.
They go about their way.
The coyote and the
sheepdog. Yeah,
exactly. They're fighting tooth and nail, but then when the sound of the 5 o'clock whistle blows, well, see you tomorrow, Sam. Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
fight the good fight, and you have respect for them, and that's how it works.
I remember I was a defensive end at Berkeley High. Played football at junior high and high school, and we'd play Royal O'Kimble.
Okay.
You know, and then Groves and Troy was in our league. And as a defensive end, I mean, we had those rubber pads on our forearms. So typically, if one of the linemen were pulling, trying to take me out, depending upon what type of play they were running, I mean, I would just take that pad and just pound them on their helmet. Like, you know, at the end of the game, hey, good game, Todd. Good game, yeah. Craig.
Good game.
It was not always. Because then, you know, afterwards, yeah, we'll see you at the big boy on 13 and Southfield Road. I'm just saying, but hey, we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. You're my handsome co-host, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. Craig, we have a huge show.
Big show. Lots of law to talk about.
We have, folks, you are not going to want to miss any portion of the show.
Yeah.
But first, I have a few things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Skunks.
Ugh.
I mentioned about a month or two ago, one of my German Shepherds got skunked.
Yeah.
Now when she needs to go outside
right
at night,
uh-huh.
I turn the lights on. I sound the alarm. My cars are going off. I mean, I'm pounding on the wall.
Yep.
A couple nights ago, sitting inside the house. It's a warm night. The windows are open.
Sure.
There was nobody outside. It is quiet. And all of a sudden, my dog, she, you know, one of my dogs is on the couch.
Right.
But we both smelled skunk.
Ugh.
I have no idea what activated that skunk that still is around my house somewhere to spray.
They got spooked by something. Could have been another animal. Could have been a spider.
I had to close all the windows. Oh, my dog was going crazy. She's barking. And then the next day, you ready for this? This is my skunk story. The next day, I'm pulling out of a road onto another country road.
Okay.
And in the middle of the day, I see a skunk crossing the road, which is unusual.
I think they're more at night, are they not?
They are.
They travel more at night.
So as I'm turning left, the skunk is crossing the road. I see the skunk and I'm driving towards it, but it was already almost across the road.
Okay.
I had no idea, folks. In fact, what I'm about to say, make sure this doesn't happen to you.
Oh.
It sprayed in a direction where my vehicle was, and my entire vehicle inside just smelled like skunk again.
Oh.
No, but so my point is, if you see a skunk crossing the road, let it cross.
Yeah.
I mean, don't go near it.
Yeah.
And then last week, I want to give Larry a big shout out from up north, Tawas area.
Okay.
He called me. He saved a turtle.
Oh, okay.
And we are a law show, but we're big animal. We love animals.
Yeah.
We hunt. We fish. Yeah. But we love animals.
Animal enthusiasts.
And Larry stopped on the road. He picked up this huge snapping turtle. So be careful.
Right.
And put it off into the swamp area. Because, folks, I'm not joking when I say do not run over turtles.
Oh, no.
And if it's a safe area, you're not on a major roadway or highway because we don't want you to get hurt or killed or a car coming.
Right.
But if you're on a backcountry road somewhere, you're familiar with the road, there's no one around, pull off to the side, be safe, save that turtle.
Didn't you do that like a couple of months ago? Weren't you driving like somewhere in Coleman or someplace like that?
And always saving turtles.
And there was a turtle on the road, and that was where you pulled over and took it off and put it.
Always saving turtles.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
There's a new iPhone X that's out.
Yeah,
iPhone 10. iPhone 10. It's at $999.
Yeah.
It uses facial recognition. My question to you before we go to break, is this going to create Fourth Amendment issues when police want and want to search that phone? Do they need a warrant in order to request that you use your face, your facial recognition, to get into your phone? That's my question for you.
All right.
Because it's another serious issue.
Yeah, exactly. I'll answer it when we come back from the break.
Okay? Yeah. Hey, well, let's come back with some more Gary Puckett.
Of course.
Right after a word from our sponsors.
And you're afraid to let
your eyes meet mine. And lately when I love you.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we come to each and every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on three stations that belong to the Black Diamond group of stations.
That's right.
98.5 WUPS.
Rock 105 and Rock 95.5 out of Sheboygan and Traverse City. We just rock.
And we are trending on all the podcast platforms at a high level right now. So I want to thank all the listeners who have subscribed to the show on Podbean.com, SoundCloud, Radio FM,
Google Play,
iTunes.
Yeah, that's the big one.
And you can go ahead and download the podcast app. It's free and just type in the name of the show and subscribe to the show. In fact, download all the apps that go along with 98.5 UPS.
And Rock 105 as well. Rock 95.5, all the apps so you can hear us. I know we're working on new apps. I think we're working on doing some kind of a different crazy app thing. Those apps, man, that's where the money is. You ever come up with an idea for an app?
Yeah, I came up with the idea for boneless wings and cheesy things, cheesy balls, those appetizers. I never got credit for it.
That's a different kind of app.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Talking about a phone app.
How about some law?
Okay.
Okay, before
law
the
show?
Yeah, with a hoarse voice. Before the break, do police need a warrant to search the contents of your iPhone? And now with facial recognition, where do we go from here? Because it's brand new.
It's going to be the same thing as if you had to punch in your four-digit code or whatever. If that is something you need a search warrant for, you're going to need a search warrant for the facial recognition thing. It's the same deal.
So we talked about this months ago on the show. Riley versus California. It was a 2014 decision that held that police cannot generally search the contents of a cell phone seized during an arrest unless they get a warrant. But border agents, by the way, do have more leeway.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is a new issue. We don't know the answer to this yet. It's still unclear whether they can force you to unlock the phone with a face ID to get the data. Now, since Riley v. California came out, I'm going to say that once this goes up to the higher courts, if it's ever challenged because an officer violated someone's, Fourth Amendment rights to, unreasonable search and seizure.
Sure.
It'll go up to the courts. Something has to happen to somebody somewhere for it to be challenged. And this will go all the way up the courts to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, it's gone up to the courts where people they forced them to enter their code to get into a phone, right? And that was deemed illegal?
Riley versus California.
Right.
That is the case right now that the Supreme Court decided on for protections from intruding into your cell phones, violating your right to privacy.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think whatever the method is to get into your cell phone, whether it's punching a code or using your face or even a thumb swipe or a thumbprint, I think it's all going to fall into the same thing.
Think about this. Look how fast and think about how fast technology moves.
Oh, yeah.
And then think, folks out there, how slow the laws move that go through the court system. Yeah. So it takes years and years and sometimes a decade before a court will decide some of these issues. And then by the time the case gets before the higher court, the technology changes again because now you brought up punching in the code.
Right.
Now we have facial recognition.
Yep.
These issues have to go before the court. And to me, we're constitutionalists, you and I.
Yes.
We believe in the language of the Constitution.
Yep.
And I still believe that your Fourth Amendment right to unreasonable search and seizure is paramount.
Exactly.
Same as the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Right.
People always ask me about Miranda. I won't get into Miranda because we talk about it all the time on the show.
Sure.
But Miranda is not mandatory. An officer who is doing an investigation, hypothetically, into an operating while intoxicated drunk driving case is just doing that, an investigation.
Exactly.
And then once you are placed into custody and you're no longer free to leave, which I would argue is right away, but under the law, once you're in custody and you're placed under arrest, that's when Miranda triggers. So Craig Russell, if you're on the way to the station and your rights for drinking and driving and the officer is having a conversation with you and all of a sudden you blurt out that you've got all these illegal paraphernalia somewhere. You were never told you had a right to remain silent once you were placed under arrest. Therefore, anything you say
can be used against you.
Can be used against you.
Exactly.
But in this case, it cannot because you weren't told you had a right to remain silent. That's how Miranda works.
Exactly.
Well, I get it all the time. Almost all, like half of my cases, people say, I wasn't read my Miranda rights, and I have to explain to them when Miranda triggers. But I would argue if you're pulled over by a police officer, you cannot leave the scene. If you leave, you're going to be charged with a felony for fleeing and eluding. Therefore, right. I say, in your own state of mind, you're in custody.
You need to be reasonable, and you need to be polite, and you need to be forthcoming if the officer asks you something. But the minute you read your rights, you're right. What is the Miranda rights?
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you
at that point
in a court of law. But here's the thing. There are so many cases. We're talking about cases that go up to the United States Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different situations where you can incriminate yourself. So the question is, when does the Fifth Amendment apply? When does your right against self-incrimination, where it can be used against you down the road in a legal case, when does it apply? Very technical area. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to have lawyers on the show, constitutional lawyers, who are going to be discussing this issue. So stay tuned to the Todd Elevitt Law Show. We're going to have some huge constitutional shows.
We're going to have lawyers on this show?
We're going to have lawyers on the show.
Wait, aren't you a lawyer?
I am an attorney, but I'm an entertainer also.
I understand.
That's why we're playing Gary Puckett coming back from break. But the issue of privacy is so paramount to our existence and to the Constitution of this country that the founders laid in the Constitution, which, by the way, was written on hemp paper.
Well, that's good to know. But here's, you know, you were talking earlier about the technology part. Here's the interesting part of the technology. For starters, in a lot of communities, they're forcing police to wear those body cameras. So it's
forcing.
Well, that's what the people want. They want you to, so people can be held accountable. You know, most, I mean, come on, 99% of the police officers do their job correctly. They do what they're supposed to do. They follow the rules of the law, and they're good, hardworking citizens. I mean, there are people who live next door to us and stuff. But with a body camera on, then you've got the proof. Then you can say, hey, he already asked him 3 times about this, and he has not read him his Miranda rights. There's no way to deny it. And you know the people who are not police officers, technology on your phones, Facebook Live. How many people have been, the minute they get pulled over, they start Facebook Living, and when bad things happen, I mean, there is a proof of it right there. That technology is changing so much. When the laws were written, the Miranda laws, that was like in the mid-60s. Wasn't it like 1966 when the Miranda
1645.
Law?
Yeah, it goes way back.
No, I'm talking 1960s.
Well, it was a case. Miranda was an individual.
Right. But I mean, I think it was in the 1960s that became law that they had to read you your rights. We didn't have cameras. Nobody had phones or anything like that. And now all the technology is changing so much to be able to hold people accountable. That's the main thing right there. You need to be held accountable, whether you are a citizen who's done something wrong or you're a police officer or you are the court. Everybody needs to be held accountable.
Okay. Miranda, by the way, because I went to law school way back 1989 to 1992. It's Miranda v. Arizona, digging in my memory. It's a 1966 case.
That's what I thought.
And it has to do with the rights of the criminally accused, by the way. I'm not going to get into the whole case, but it was Miranda versus Arizona. Here's the thing. State troopers, I have a lot of friends that are troopers.
Sure.
I have a lot of friends that are deputies. They do a great job.
Yep.
I want to give a big shout out to Trooper Kraft, who works out of Mount Pleasant. I want to give a big shout out to all the troopers at the Mount Pleasant post here.
Okay.
I've known them for years. They do a great job. And look, you know, there's people out there who agree and disagree, but here's what I always tell my clients. If you're doing nothing wrong, then you have nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
If you get pulled over, And an officer walks up to the vehicle, always keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Yep.
Please keep your hands where they can be seen.
Yep.
And just answer the questions. Yeah, albeit I'm a defense attorney, you have the right to remain silent. My point is,
if you're not doing anything wrong,
you got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
That's what I'm here to say.
Yep, exactly.
Nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
There's no reason you cannot wake up every single day and say to yourself, today, I'm going to make the right choices, I'm going to make good choices, and do the right thing.
That's correct.
So please respect all the men and women in law enforcement because they put their lives on the line. In fact, we have to clean up a highway. We do the highway cleanup.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous when you're walking on those highways. Please, it's the law in Michigan. I know we have people listening from all over the world to the podcast version of the show. But in Michigan, you must pull over when you see an emergency vehicle off to the right shoulder.
Yep.
Get in the left lane, unless the exception is if there's just too much traffic, you need to come to a slow stop.
Sure.
And pay attention to construction signs.
Oh.
And when you see an emergency vehicle, pull the hell over.
Yeah.
Don't. When I see people, you know what? When I see people driving, Craig, there. Look, somebody. You have men and women who are first responders. They're EMS. They're law enforcement. They're on their way to save somebody. Someday that could be you.
That's
and the
right.
last thing you want is someone getting in your way, preventing somebody from someone's life being saved.
Todd L. Levitt, you're just talking about common sense.
No, and but that, there's no,
but it's important.
Most there's a lot of people out there with no common sense. Nope. I'm not saying everybody. Nope. They exist. And also school buses. We just had an unfortunate accident in Isabella County. Very
right.
tragic.
Yep.
Pay attention to the school bus. Those are our kids. Stay a good, clear distance away and just stop. You don't have to come right up behind it. If I'm like 50, 100 yards away, when I see the lights going, I stop.
Yeah.
People behind me aren't happy. Oh, can't you move up a little bit? No, I'm staying right there.
All you're doing, not only are you practicing good common sense, but you are protecting those people from doing something that they don't want to do either. This message paid for by Todd L. Levitt.
That's right.
For law, whatever.
That's right.
He's Todd L. Levitt, and you know, he approves this message.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have another question for you.
Okay.
Let's say a person locks him or herself in somebody's car. Another car. Someone else's car.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
You lock yourself in or lock yourself out?
You're just in a car.
Okay.
I go to a parking lot. There's a car sitting there. I'm in the car, and the car's not moving. Am I guilty of vehicle theft at that point if I'm just in the vehicle? It's your car. It's in a parking lot at a grocery store. For whatever reason, I'm in the car or you're in my car. The question is, are you guilty of vehicle theft? That's the question we're going to ask the audience to think about. So when we come back from break, and we'll answer the question. What do you say?
I'll tell you my answer after the break. I got a beat on this one.
Take us out, Craig Russell. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, thank you for tuning in. And whatever it is you're doing today, whether you're visiting family members, you're on your way home from spending some quality time up north, going to a football game, coming back from a football game, we're just happy you're tuned in and stay tuned in. And if you miss any portion of this show, you can catch us on podcast. We're not going to go through all the different platforms. Just Google the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast. It's free out there. Craig Russell, we came back once again with Gary Puckett. And I love Gary Puckett. I love that song. Lady, willpower, willpower through it. Da, 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 da. What else did they sing?
He also sang, young girl, get out of my life. I don't know the rest of
I like song. The woman song.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, I just Gary love Puckett. That
it's
crooner.
It's got that 60s sound to it. That is definitely the 1960s right there. Speaking of 1966, you were talking about the Miranda Law.
Nice segue.
You know,
are you in radio?
You'd think. You know how I knew that was 1966? TV taught me that. And you know what TV show taught me that?
Sesame Street.
Dragnet.
Sesame Street.
The old Dragnet TV show, the color version. There were two versions of Dragnet. One that was on in the early 50s because it started off in radio. And then it was like from like 1950 to like 1958 on TV. Then they came back in the late 60s with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan, the guy who played Colonel Potter on MASH. And 1967, that they started reading the Miranda rights, and they had to get a little card out because nobody had it memorized yet because it was such fresh new legislation.
Craig, you are a plethora of TV trivia.
I am a.
I love it.
I have a useless knowledge.
You are a plethora.
You want to go TV trivia or you want to go sports trivia?
I got a question for you. How about legal trivia? Because this is a law show.
This is your thing. Okay.
So if you lock yourself in another person's car, are you going to be found guilty of vehicle theft?
Well, let me ask you this.
Does a car have to move? That's the issue. In order to vehicle theft, does a car have to move?
I would say probably no. And here's the thing I'm going to think about. If I was, let's say I left a drinking and eating establishment and I happened to be intoxicated and I wandered home and I walked into what I thought was my house, but it was somebody else's house. And I took off my clothes. I grabbed a piece of pizza out of the fridge and I lay down on the couch and I fell asleep thinking it was my couch. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, somebody else wakes up and goes downstairs and sees me down there. What would happen to me? Would I be arrested for breaking and entering? Or would that be a charge?
Depends. Are you alive? It depends whose house you're sleeping. Who's, you know, I mean.
Well, let's just say it's somebody's house. I thought I walked into the wrong house.
So what's the question?
Would I be arrested for breaking and entering if I went into the wrong house and I made myself at home?
What do you think?
I would think you would be. I would think
here's the question.
So
hold on. Okay. Let the lawyer speak.
Okay.
With every crime, you have to prove two things. You have to prove the intent to commit the crime.
Okay.
And the act itself.
Okay.
So did the person have the mental state of, unless it's a specific intent crime? I'm not going to get into all the specific intent issues out there. But the question is, did you have the intent to enter that dwelling? And therefore, once you had the intent, did you commit the act itself? And can the prosecutor prove every element of that crime beyond a reasonable doubt?
No, and no, and no. I was drunk, and I thought I walked into my house.
Okay, here's the law in Michigan.
Else. Okay.
Intoxication is not a defense.
Okay.
Under that scenario, you committed home invasion.
Okay.
At minimum, illegal entry, because you had the college kids who come back for homecoming, or they get hammered. They think they live here because all these apartment complexes look the same.
True.
And at 3 in the morning after 21 and older is out there drinking. See how I threw that in there?
I saw that.
They enter someone's apartment.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. It depends whose household, by the way. I mean, think about, I'm just going to say this. We're Second Amendment guys, right?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, I got shepherds and other devices to notify me
if somebody
I'm just gonna leave it at that. But if someone gets past the dogs, they're gonna meet Mr. 12 gauge.
So
my point is, I'm not implying that I would do that. I'm just saying, in the state we live in, how many listeners out there are with me right here to protect your family? Now people will say, you know, the question is home invasion or illegal entry. If you just stumble drunk into someone's apartment, what's it gonna be? What charge?
I would think probably illegal entry.
Is it not home invasion?
Because I was not trying to invade the home for any kind of immoral purpose. I thought I was entering my house by mistake, happened to be intoxicated. Now, to throw this back to the car, if I'm sitting in somebody's car and you said, does the car have to be moving to be theft? Is that my intent? Is my intent just to sit in the car and to think that it's a nice car? Or is my intent, I'm sitting in the car waiting for everyone to go away and then I'm going to hotwire it and steal it? What's the intent, using the adage that you gave me?
Let me just go back to home invasion. Just for a moment. No, I don't mean to be all over the place
here. Fine.
But you brought it. Let me just answer that.
Okay.
Typically, you're correct. Home invasion is, it's illegal, obviously, and it's usually forceful. It's a forceful entry to an occupied private dwelling with the intent to commit, a crime against the occupants, robbery, assault, some other heinous crime. That's home invasion. Under your scenario, to me, it's more illegal entry. You were intoxicated. You just simply stumbled into an apartment you thought was yourself. Your intent was not to do anything other than go to your own apartment.
Right.
It's up to the prosecutor, but a prosecutor is going to put forth charges if he or she feels that they can get a conviction.
Sure.
Number one.
Right.
I'm saying illegal entry. Now back to the car case.
Okay.
This actually took place in Minnesota.
Okay.
And the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that yes, a person in Minnesota can be found guilty of motor vehicle theft even if he or she does not move the vehicle. So this was a case where somebody just ended up in front of someone's house and for whatever reason they were in this person's vehicle that was located on the person's driveway.
Okay.
Now, the Minnesota Supreme Court took a look at the facts of the case and they concluded that their definition of taking was more along the lines of someone with the intent to be in the car in the first place, because if somebody's in the car, and by the way, I think the keys were in the car in the first place. I'm not, the car was running, by the way, in Minnesota. Okay. So it's individual entered stepped into a vehicle that was running into someone's driveway. If somebody's going to do that, you don't know the person, they're not a family member, they didn't have consent to be in a vehicle in the first place, then you can conclude it's a good chance, more than likely, that they're going to take the car. The Minnesota Supreme Court ruled, even though that vehicle never moved because the police were called, that that possession in that car with it running was enough to meet the definition of movement.
Okay.
And there's so many different versions. If you look in the American Heritage Dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary, I mean, the definition is just, there's 80 different meanings.
Now, what about...
It's ambiguous.
What do you think... If, let's say, the car wasn't running and the keys weren't in it, would that make a difference?
It has. I don't know if that case has been decided yet, because in this case, the engine was running.
Right.
But here's the other thing. Yeah, I think it could. You could argue, if you're going along the lines of the Minnesota Supreme Court, if somebody enters a vehicle and it's not running, maybe they're going to hotwire it. Can people still do that? I don't even know. Remember in the movies, you see them take a screwdriver? Yeah. Does that work?
That does. On old cars, you can get a screwdriver to start a car up.
How do you know that?
Because I maybe had a car once that didn't have the key starter on it, lost the key, and you needed a screwdriver to start it.
You know, one of my first cars was a 1972 Gran Torino with a rusted floor like a Fred Flintstone car. I bought it for $300.
Yep.
I think at one point in the life of that Gran Torino, that I actually did have like the whole steering system pulled off, and I was trying to get to Berkeley High, and I think I just had a screw and I was just starting it. Does that sound right?
It does. Yeah, with a screwdriver, you can use that to start and everything.
1972
sometimes
Gran
Torino. Sometimes you need a pair of pliers to do that too and everything. But see, now this leads me to another question I was going to, as you were talking about this. So let's say you try a case and it goes all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court finds one way or the other. And that usually then sets
the law of the land.
It's the law of the land. And that sets the precedence for other places. A couple years later, you say, well, you know, the Supreme Court found you guilty for doing this. You can use that as defense or as a prosecution tool in court. When something happens like this in a state court, like the state Supreme Court of Minnesota, will that end up influencing other states? Could you then say, well,
absolutely,
in Minnesota, they did it this way?
Well, absolutely.
State.
Here's why.
Okay.
Because when you are filing a motion or a brief as an attorney, you're always citing case law. You're always looking for cases that are similar on point with your case.
Sure.
So if you're arguing in front of a judge, you want to present in your brief, you want to list all these cases so that you can say, okay, Your Honor, you know, state of Michigan versus Russell.
Oh, great.
In that case, a 1985 case is similar to my case because, and then you argue, you show the facts. So you're showing the facts.
Okay.
So you're looking for case law. First, you're looking for state law. You're looking for cases in the state in the same jurisdiction.
Right. That's precedence.
You could argue, you know, Your Honor, this case happened in St. John's, or this case happened in Grand Traverse County.
Wherever.
The facts are similar. And then you're looking for other cases. And if you have federal law, United States Supreme Court law, if it's a constitutional issue, then there you go.
How did you know I had a case against me in 1985?
Did you really?
No,
well,
I
you
didn't.
Did say that you used a screwdriver, did you not?
I wasn't driving.
The statute of limitations has tolled.
I'm not as old as you are. I wasn't driving in 1985.
You might not be as old as I am, but I have more hair than you.
That's true.
I have a lot of hair.
You got a thick head of hair.
No, this
man.
Is 80s rock band.
Hair.
Wait. Can we just tell the listeners, because they'll get a visual?
Okay.
Do I not have 80s rock hair going right now?
You do.
I don't got a. I don't have a mullet.
No,
but here,
but
let me
got,
just.
You got the big feathered back 80s hair.
Hold on.
Going on.
The hair on the top of my forehead now is so long. Can you see how it's down by my neck?
You dye that?
Do I? Yeah. Why
not?
Okay. Heck yeah. I'm not going gray yet.
Okay. I got you.
Hey, you know what? I'm a masculine guy.
I understand.
There's no reason you can't manscape today. There's no reason, you can't use a good lotion, shampoo. Hold on.
Okay.
There's no reason as a guy. And here's what I was thinking about this the other day.
Okay.
To all the women out there.
All right.
Look, a lot of guys throughout mid, northern, upper peninsula, these are our friends. These are our family. We grew up in the city.
Yeah,
I'm used to, you know, we grew up at the mall shopping.
Yep.
I worked at a clothing store, merry-go-round,
yep.
You know, Lord & Taylor, Macy's, all that stuff. I go shopping in Chicago. I would like some of my friends that their main fashion statement is jeans and a t-shirt. You know, I see these on TV where the man gets manscaped. He comes out in some, you know, just
Armani suit looking good.
Oh, I have Armani clothes. Yeah, like how about a nice button-down silk shirt with a nice pair of pants or jeans with a nice black patent leather shoe, a real shiny shoe. Just do it up for your woman. I mean, go outside your comfort zone, guys. Go downstate, go to the mall, have someone set you up in some new duds and surprise your woman, because this show is all about Gary Puckett from the 60s. Woman, Lady Willpower. What was the other third song you were singing?
Young Girls.
Young Girls, get out of my head.
Funny, I thought this was a law show. What do I know? Hey, when we come back, speaking of hair, I've got a story about hair. All right. And
I'm just giving out advice to some of my buddies out there.
I know.
Just manscape it up for the women.
I know. But
hey, don't we love the women?
Well, of course.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying here.
I know you're just
don't
saying.
Hate the players.
No, hate the game.
Hate the game. We got old school play in the house here.
Yeah.
Let's come back with Gary Puckett after a word from our sponsors.
Your eyes meet mine. And lately, when I love you.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back once again, folks, with one of my favorite all time performers and groups, Gary Puckett. I'm stuck on Gary Puckett. And later today, I'm going to do some mandatory Metallica. And after 3 p.m., some Avenged Sevenfold and a little bit of Disturbed. I have a very wide range of music taste, Craig.
Yeah, you do.
No, seriously, depends on my mood. But we were talking in the last segment, and I was being serious. I was trying to empower all my friends out there to listen to the show to go out and just step outside your comfort zone, go shopping. I'm not criticizing anybody for the way they dress. I wear Wranglers all the time. I wear a white T-shirt. And I've got a whole bunch of camo I wear year-round that I purchase at J Sporting Goods. I mean, that's just how I dress. But then I can step out in some Armani, some Calvin Klein, put on a little Jacquard cologne. Remember Jacquard?
Uh-huh.
I still wear Jacquard cologne every day. In fact, it smells so good. People think it's a new cologne, but it's so old, no one knows the smell.
It's called classic, man.
Yeah, remember the 80s? Do you remember in the 80s we used to wear? I used to wear all these gold necklaces with my Italian horn. I look at some of the pictures. I had rings on my fingers and bracelets. I want to bring back the 80s look. Next time we do the show, I'm coming here with my gold chains around my neck.
So you grew up in Detroit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Kalamazoo was a little more laid back than that. We just shopped at Chess King, had on, you know, the black sweaters, the Cosby Show looking sweaters.
I remember Chess King.
With the patches, the leather patches, squares and everything, man.
No, we were going dancing. I worked at Merry-Go-Round at the Oakland Mall. We were going to My Place, Lenolte's, but then we would also go see the hair bands at the Ritz, Harpo's on 94.
Yep.
But the Ritz off of Gratiot was one of my favorite places. New York. We used to see Seduce and Bittersweet Alley. Remember those guys? Those were some great Detroit rock bands.
You're older than I am, man. What are you talking about?
After the shows, we would go to the White Castle on Gratiot and 11 Mile right there off the highway. Great times, great tunes. But my whole point was, you know, step back out, man. Let's put on some really good duds and some good threads and have a good time. Have a cigar. Just chillax. And you know what? Let me ask you a question. We are a law show.
Yep.
We're deviating a little bit.
A little bit.
But you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family.
Correct.
Give me a character trait that's important to you for having someone as your friend.
As a friend?
Yeah. So I'm your friend.
Dependable. Somebody you can count on as a good friend.
Dependable.
Yeah, dependable.
What does that mean to
that
you?
It means, you know what? If I needed some help with something, I'm stuck in a hole down in a well, you'll be the one who will come down and laugh at me, but then try and help me get out.
Loyal. You're
a good friend. Loyal. Yeah. Loyal
to me, want to know what's important to me as a friend?
What?
Loyalty.
Sure.
No. Loyalty. Are you a loyal friend? And I could define that in many different ways, but the way I grew up and my guys to this very day, we're all about loyalty to one another.
Sure.
And to our each other's families. If I'm loyal, Craig, you're my friend.
Yes.
I'm a loyal friend.
Very much so.
Whether I disagree with you or if you, here's an example. I have a lot of friends I grew up with that got in all kinds of trouble. Some went to prison. Some are doing this. Some are doing that. And you want to know something? I'm just as loyal as a friend to them, almost despite. It depends on, thank God, none of my friends have done anything heinous.
Sure.
You know, I don't have to say it.
No.
But for the most part, I'm a loyal guy. I don't care. You did something wrong, I'm standing by you. I don't judge. You're my friend.
That's right.
To me, that's loyalty.
Agreed.
Hands down.
Agreed.
Reliability. Reliability to me. Can I just tell you something? As an attorney and as a business guy and just in general, you keep saying I'm older than you. I'm in my 50s. I have found in my lifetime that most people, you can't count on them. You know, you think you can, but when it comes down to it, and now we all have our family, and then we have maybe one, maybe two. We have our very close group of friends who are our people.
Yeah.
These are your friends.
Yeah. Then these ones will drop everything.
There's layers of friendship.
Sure.
There's people who, there's acquaintances.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about your guys. Or your girls. I'm not talking about that close inner ring that nobody can penetrate.
Right.
Because you can't penetrate my friends and I. We are loyal to the bone to each other. But then there's another layer of friends.
Sure.
I'm talking about that layer and beyond. You can't, it's very hard to rely on people.
I would agree with that.
Unless they're your inner circle.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. And now, in fairness to people, they're busy, but a lot of people will tell you, oh, I'll do this. You need something, let me know. I'll be there. No. Not happening. Therefore, people, I advise you to say this. Next time someone says, hey, Craig, you know, in a couple weeks, I need to rake the lawn. Will you come over and help me out? If you ask me that, Craig, I'm going to tell you, no, I'm not coming.
Yeah, you're straight up. You're that
kind of guy. I'm telling straight, whether you like the answer or not.
Yep.
It's like you're being on an...
Because you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting with you.
It's like going to a wedding. If I get invited to a wedding, I'm going to tell you right now, don't invite me. Although my buddy Corey Dinteman got married. I was in a wedding. I love Corey. That was a different story.
You're in the wedding.
Right. But that's close. Yeah, that's the inner circle.
That's
there.
The inner circle.
But yep. I'm talking about, for the most part, no. It's Todd's time. It's Craig's time.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, there's a code. Remember growing up, your friends that would bird dog you? You know what bird dogging is?
I do.
Okay. For those out there that don't know what bird dogging is, you know, you're a young guy. You're at a bar. You're hanging out. You're with your girlfriend. You know, you should be able to leave your girlfriend and not have to worry about your guys making a move on her.
Sure.
That's bird dogging.
You're right.
Don't be bird dogging my woman.
Okay.
You don't mess with the girlfriends, the kids, the wives. You stay away.
That's right.
But people aren't like that. They'll dog you every time. I'm just saying there's a code out there. Am I right?
Somebody break the code. This is oddly specific. Did somebody break the code?
No, I'm just talking in generalities here, but here's another thing that really pees me off.
Okay.
I know we're a law show, but I want to get this out because I just want to say this.
Okay.
If you're in a relationship, how many of you out there were in a relationship? No, I'm just saying. And she
Do I know where this is going?
No, and you broke up, and then to get you back, he or she, it could goes both ways, they took one of the pets. And if there's multiple pets that belong together, how do you break the pets out? Just because you want to get back at the woman or the guy, you don't break up the pets, the family of animals. And it happens in marriages, it happens in divorces, and it happens in relationships. Well, and that really pees me off.
Who keeps the pets, though? If you get them together, who gets to keep them?
The pets, okay, here's what I would
say.
Not
everybody ends a relationship on a good note where you can just decide. You
well, okay, correct.
You get stinky.
Fluffy and stinky.
I'm just making up names. I'm just making stuff.
Here's my question as an attorney.
Okay. Oh, God. Now this is going to come back to law. This
well,
is
here's
great.
Who gets the pets.
Okay. Yeah, who does get
if
the pets?
If you're in a relationship, dating or marriage,
okay.
The first question is this. If you have kids, were the pets part of your child's, you know, growing up? Did your kids grow up with the cat and the dog? Then you want to know something? If you're the custodial parent, then those pets should stay with the kids
in
the custodial parents' house.
I would agree with that.
Let's say there's no kids.
Right.
All right? Let's say there's no kids.
So you're just a guy and a girl.
And you got the animals together.
Okay.
That's where the issue and the courts aren't going to deal with this.
Well, here's how
the,
you know.
No, I'm just telling you, the courts aren't going to, if you're dating, hold on. If you're dating, from my understanding, I could be wrong. We'll have to ask Ghazi Alec. He's a family lawyer.
Okay.
Or one of the other family lawyers I know, John Devine, Jennifer. Becky. I'm trying to get all my friends there.
Sure.
My understanding is that if you're in a relationship and one partner takes one of the pets, there's no recourse,
which is
bull.
Now, I'll say this much. Most people can say, all right, you're a guy and a girl, you're dating, you get a dog and a cat. And the guy is going to probably say, you know what? I like the dog. I could care less about the cat. Girl, you can have the cat.
Yeah, but the cat and dog like each other. They should stay together.
I'm just saying, the guy probably keeps the dog. The girl probably takes the cat.
Yeah, but here's the point. The animals develop a relationship, a bond. You forget the couple. Because they don't like each other, that should not affect the relationship that the animals have developed together. Now, a lot of people out there are saying, what is this crap? We're a law show. Get back to talking about cannabis and Fourth Amendment rights. But I'm just saying, this is a serious issue because people, you know, you think about divorce, you think about relationships and breakups. People don't respect the animals the way they should. And I've been privy to these type of issues, and I'm just not happy about it. I think the animals need to stay together. Now, here's what I would do. I would say to you, Craig, if you came to me and said, did you talk to your girlfriend? Did you say, hey, listen, you're moving to an apartment. I have a big farmhouse here. Can we just agree the pets stay with me and you can visit once in a while? That's what you should say.
Not unless you're breaking up with this girl and you don't ever want to see her again. You don't want her coming back looking to just take the cat
and get
on with it.
Nah, get her to agree, and then once she moves out, you never have to see her again, but at least you got to keep the pets.
I'm going to continue with this. All sounds oddly specific.
No, it has nothing to do with me personally. I'm just saying, in general, we're talking about character traits. We were talking about trust, loyalty, reliability. And the reason I brought all those character traits up is, Craig, you want to know why?
Why?
Because I reached out to a group of friends about something 6 months ago.
Okay.
Friends, not in the inner circle.
Right.
Not like AZ, Piz Dog, right. Or, you know,
G Money.
I'm talking
acquaintances. Yeah.
About something. Just something.
Okay.
Yeah, Todd. We're gonna work on that with you.
Okay.
And I'm referring to some lawyer friends.
Okay.
Acquaintances.
These lawyer friends stiff you?
No, it's not a stiff where I lost money or it was anything that was not on the up and up.
Right.
Obviously. But it's just something that irritated me because they finally got back to me and it took them so long. Look, if someone texts me or calls me, I'm texting you back, I'm calling you back. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If someone says, hey, I'll call you back tomorrow, then call me back tomorrow.
You would have appreciated it.
Do you understand where I'm getting at here?
Exactly what you're
saying. I don't have time. Business is business. People are just so in the clouds out there. Don't tell me you're going to do something and then not follow through.
You would have been happier if they would have just said to you, hey, I'm not going to do it. Okay, then you could have just moved on. You might not like the answer. You respect it, and you get on with it.
These are people who we all respect in our lives, folks out there. Everybody out there is putting themselves in our position right here saying, you know what? That's right. I have friends. I've been in that situation. I have family. These are people who I relied upon. They could rely upon me. And when it came down to it, they dropped the ball. All they had to do was call me or text me. I shouldn't have had to wait a couple months. That's all I want to say.
Can I tell you something?
What? I'm not happy right now.
I know you're not. You should have got the cat.
Hey, we gotta
go. Show's over.
Take us out, Walter White.
Show's over, folks.
I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator.
Take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.